Every year, Time Magazine gets around to naming a person of the year, or in some cases, a group of people of the year, or a type of person of the year. And this year, as you may well have heard, Time Magazine selected the protester as the person of the year. Protest was something that seemed to accomplish things in the 60s and 70s, seemed awfully quaint in the face of multinational corporations in the 90s, and once again, for good or for ill, whatever one may think of it, protesters are shaping the international conversation and policy once again. So whether you like them or not, it is interesting, it is noteworthy that once again protesters are doing something. People are seeing results from protest. In fact, what has come to be called the Arab Spring began 1 year ago yesterday. But it didn't begin 1 year ago yesterday with tens of thousands of people in the streets. It began in quite an unexpected place in an unexpected manner. It began with one man, a young street vendor who sold produce from his cart in Tunisia. And this man was always being harassed by the authorities. He would go out, he would be fined, his scales would be taken away. And 1 year ago yesterday, he had finally had all that he could take. And this one man, having had his scales taken by the authorities, went to complain to the local government and got nothing. He came back into the public square later and lit himself ablaze, giving his life for the sake of freedom. In fact, this one man's 16-year-old sister would eventually come to say that in Tunisia, dignity is more valuable than bread. This huge movement across the world, for good or ill, started not with a large group, but with one man. In fact, in the backwaters of Tunisia, in a tiny town far away from the center of power. This reminds us of the context into which our Lord came. C.S. Lewis talks about ripples of truth going out through human history that point us back to the story of how God came among us and redeemed us. So as we are in a day and a time in which protests are once again on the news, we do well to remember that these great movements, these large movements of people, start with one person, often a person in an unexpected place, doing something so innocent as refusing to give up a seat on a bus. Our Lord came not to a rich woman in Rome. He came to the Blessed Virgin Mary, a poor Jewish girl in the backwaters of the Roman Empire. He finally answered the question, could anything good come out of Galilee? If one was looking for a rival king, one would not even bother with Galilee, this backwater place where nothing of note happens. But this is the context into which our Lord came, into the small, the downtrodden, the destitute places. This is where he was born. This day we remember and give thanks for the obedience, the willingness of the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the God-bearer, the one who would bring our Lord into the flesh. We give thanks for what God does, because we always point back to God as the actor. And indeed, with God, nothing will be impossible. It is only with God that stories like his son being born of a virgin in Galilee and redeeming the world even begin to make sense. But we don't only remember what God does, we remember our responsibility, human response, the Blessed Virgin Mary consenting to bear our Lord. It is no small thing that our Lord was born in the time in which he was, that he came among us. He came to a people under oppression in the line of David. He came to those who had no power, and he came as the humblest of all, a tiny, vulnerable little infant. This would be our king, not the one riding a horse with a sword, but God humbling himself to be among us. He came to the Blessed Virgin Mary, betrothed to Joseph, and Joseph also obeyed. He stood by Mary. Now, I know it's hard to imagine, but in Jesus' day, the Unwed Mother Club was even less popular than it is today. And if Joseph had put Mary to shame and put her aside, it is hard to imagine how the story would have gone. But Joseph stood with Mary. He believed this story that has only been told and believed once in human history, the virgin conception and birth. Our Lord comes to us in great humility to set the world on its head and to set everything right. And his kingdom, his legitimate authority, his rule will have no end. But it's rule that began in a stable. It's rule that was achieved not by might, but by humility. This is how God came to us in the flesh, and this is how God comes to us even now, doing great and seemingly impossible things amidst those who are considered little by society, those about whom the world has long forgotten. Our Lord comes in humility to those who also experience humility. So this is where our Lord came, not as a triumphant Roman, but born to a poor virgin in Galilee. But with God, absolutely nothing will be impossible. It is only by God's will, by his prerogative and desire, that our Lord was made flesh, in a manner by which no one else has ever been made flesh before or will be made flesh since. For with God, this story that a little baby, the only son of the Father, redeems the world to himself, calling people to himself. It is only by God's grace that this story even makes sense. It is only with God that a lowly infant demands the homage of kings. It is only in God's story and his desire to redeem fallen humanity that he comes to us in great humility. This was so foreign to the Romans and those surrounding the Jews of the days. The gods always came in power. They were quite precocious and difficult. God being humble was not part of the normal narrative, but it's part of our story. God gaining might by taking on humility. God doing a great thing by doing something amongst the lowly. Do we really believe that with God nothing is impossible? I know we do, and we know that we ought to. But it seems like some of the greatest moments of human history occur when people forget about the limitations that they were supposed to have had. It's almost like when you have a child who has a major breakthrough, sometimes children that lead us in the right path, because they didn't know it wasn't supposed to work that way. Children didn't know that there were certain rules, there were certain things set out. Indeed, those who change history, those who cooperate with God and what he is doing, are the ones who do not see the limitations of this world as a problem in the face of an almighty God. It is only by God's grace that what seems to be impossible to us is done. And indeed, we live in a day and an age in which we are overwhelmed by people trying to define things in terms of human possibility, by what we can understand, by how we can understand how the world works. But we serve the same God this day who came among us in total humility to the Virgin Mary. When we ask God for help, for blessing, for grace, we reach out to the same God who has come among us in humility and the God who has set everything right. It is hard for us to act like we believe this sometimes. But when we pray to God for assistance, we pray to the same God who has set everything right and whose kingdom will have no end. This is good news indeed. But what about the response of the Blessed Mother of our Lord? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary's entire response and interaction with Gabriel is amazing. She, like everyone who has an angel pop in on them, is surprised. The angels normally tell people not to be afraid because I've heard it's a terrifying experience. I haven't had one show up. But the angel hails her. And it's usually the other way around, the people hailing the messenger who is coming to her. The angel tells her of her favor in God's eyes. And we don't see an ounce of pride in the Blessed Virgin's response. We see willingness to cooperate with what God is doing. We see belief in this previously unheard of amazing thing that the angel is telling her. Can you even imagine the angel comes and tells her, you're going to give birth to God? She might have just been tidying the house before this happened. It's a very unexpected thing to have done. But her response is immediate and humble obedience. For while God does whatever God wishes to do, he invites us to cooperate with him. And the consent of the mother of our Lord was necessary. Her true free decision to cooperate with what God was doing is a model for us all. God does the impossible. He is a king who came in a crib. He is the one who rules not by might, but by love and humility and grace. And the same Lord who was born to the Blessed Mother of our Lord 2,000 years ago is the one who is still in the business of coming among the lowly, the destitute, and the downtrodden, and doing the absolutely impossible things by human standards. We must all be reminded that our God is still in the business of doing the impossible. He hasn't been domesticated. He hasn't taken the day off. The same God who came in lowly might 2,000 years ago is the same God who comes among us this day. May we follow in the footsteps of the Blessed Virgin Mary and cooperate, agree, be a part of all that God wishes to do in our world, in our day. Amen. Amen.